Well, thank you to our choir. Again, I just love the music that you all have been presenting and working on, but also to look up and see that it's not a drudgery. As everyone's singing, you can see the smile. You know, there's joy on their faces and in their hearts and in their voices. So thank you so very much for that. I know that it gives so much to our fellowship and our worship. And it is what we're called to do. Not only on the weekly Sabbaths, but especially on these annual Sabbaths. This is the Feast of Trumpets. Yom Teruah. Some of you may know that name, Teruah, which we translate as trumpets. But literally it means a great noise. It is not simply a trumpet. It is voices, it is sound, it is horns and trumpets. Throughout the Bible, as we read it, we come to those days or where those words are used as Teruah. It includes the blowing of trumpets. Those silver trumpets, which God had them form and use for the calling of the assembly. And those horns are also used in the declaration of royalty. There are horns that will be blown when Christ returns. Then there are shofars, the ram's horns. We have an example of one right here. This beautiful curling ram's horn, a shofar. It was used to also call together the people, to tell them of the times which were upon them. It was a warning. It was also what was blown to lead the armies, to lead the people. Shofars and trumpets. It's an incredible noise when these things happen. When I was growing up, I remembered the Feast of Trumpets. And I remember particularly the song that was just played. That's what has always stuck out in my mind. That's one of the few times where we ever heard a trumpet played in church. That da, 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 da. It creates a feeling that I think as a child we're more open to. We're more susceptible to. We hear it and we feel something. It creates an expectation of what's going to come. When we think of the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Trumpets, what are we expecting? What feeling does it bring about within ourselves? I want to talk about that today, what this great noise is. Not something you hear every day, is it? It's got a unique sound. It does something to us inside. We hear it, maybe we look out. You know, or is that a big truck coming towards me? Is there something that I need to be aware of? You know, is it the volunteer fire department? Something's about to happen. You add a staccato to it. It does have an impact. But what if there was more to it than just a ram's horn? Mr. Cook, would you join me? Well, now we're getting somewhere. It's more than just the lower, more mellow tone of the horn. But there's now a clarion tone to it. You know, there's a silver horn. Also, as we read about these great noises, and the examples that we are given to them in the Bible, it is not just an instrument. It is us. Us as a people, lifting our voices and shouting. I want you to join me in something. I don't need anybody to shout and scream, but just lift your voice into an awe or something, and we'll do this together. It's changed again, hasn't it? There was something full about it. It kind of fills the entire room. Now imagine that we had more of these and larger trumpets and more of them, and if it were our voices that we didn't care what anybody else thought. What if when we lifted our voices, it wasn't about the people next to us, but it was about the return of our King, and that we shout in exaltation and pure joy. We're not worried about being too loud for who's next door or who's sitting next to us or what they might think of us. That would be teruah, a great noise, a lifting of voices and sound and trumpets and hearts. That's what today means. It is not just simply another feast day or a trumpet or a song. It is something that goes so far beyond. It is a sound with power. With the power of God's people united with God in them and with them and going before them. That is what makes this day spectacular. The return of the King. The voices that will shout in harmony, in unison, that will bring about a change to this world. A powerful change. And it will have an impact on everyone living, and especially those who have died in Christ. There's so much more to it than we normally give it credit for, than we think of. Revelations 11 and verse 15, and we'll read this, Revelations 11 and verse 15. And then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Imagine that sound that we just heard, that feeling within our bodies only magnified because it's coming from heaven. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one who was and who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and reigned." This is the excitement that we can look forward to, that sound. But not everyone who will lift up their voices and cry aloud that day will be crying in victory. Their voices will not be raised proclaiming the return of Christ. The teruah will mean something very different to them. In verse 18, "The nations were angry, and yours," speaking of God's wrath, "has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants and prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." This will be more than just a sound of a trumpet. It will be battle. It will be destruction, a changing. That great trumpet, that great noise, teruah, will mean different things to different people. It all depends on which side you're standing on. In our own world, we have had noises like that, cries and sounds, which either bring courage to the heart or weakness to the knees of those who it is against. The Romans talked about invading Gaul and Britain. They fought in unison, in formation, in order. But the Gauls and the Celts, who they were coming against, fought like a pack of wolves. They came after them, and they howled as they charged into them. And they said that noise of these human beings howling and making noise like beasts terrified them. Some of them even broke ranks and ran before they engaged because it was so terrifying. In World War II, the German officers and soldiers would talk about trench warfare and how when they faced the Scottish Highlanders, normally there was a whistle blown from the English trenches that informed everyone that they were about to charge. But the Scottish didn't believe in whistles. They played bagpipes. And they would start this music, this loud, skirling music, and there would be some with drums, and the men would start to yell. And then they would charge across the trenches with family heirlooms, swords in their hands. And the German soldiers talked about that noise and that sight undoing them. It was courage to those who were launching the offensive and the attack, and terror to those who heard it. It all depends on which side you are standing on. We have evidence of this, not only in our world, but in the Word of God. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Because what is coming, what is prophesied, this day of trumpets, this great noise, He's already shown us. He's already proven what He can do, but on a small scale, so that we may have hope. Turn with me to Joshua. Joshua, we'll look at chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, God has brought His people, this small group of people, He brought them out of bondage, out of slavery. He brought them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness of sin into the promised land, the land that He was giving to them. Joshua 6 and verse 1. "And now Jericho was securely shut up against the children of Israel. They're the power in the land. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. These people who stand before you with their armies and their walls, I'm giving them to you. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets.'" That's teruah. a great noise. We skip along because Joshua commands the people. 6 days they march around the city, and the horns blow, but they are commanded that none of the people are to so much as utter a word. Not a sound is to escape their lips. But all those who are on the other side of this blowing of trumpets, it's being declared to them what is coming. Not just once, but 6 times they hear those horns blow and they watch them march around them. Do you see the connections with prophecy? The trumpets that will sound to this world before, the warning that will be given. Skip down to verse 15. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Now shout, for the Lord has given you the city." They raised their voices along with those blowing of horns, a great teruah. And now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who were with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. Again, in those last days, the end of this world, there will be a remnant who survives. Those who are spared. Some will, in those last days, heed the call and the warning and will repent and seek after God. You see the connections, brethren. And then he warns the brethren, "By all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of them, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. It all belongs to Him." And so the people shouted, again, teruah. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Can you imagine that sound of people who shouted with all their heart? They weren't worried about what others would think. They were all in unison. And to the best of their ability and the tops of their lungs, they made a great noise. And it was joined with the sound of trumpets, of horns. Have you ever felt a noise like that? Some people will say that they've been to giant sporting events and arenas, and they've heard people cheer in the stands when someone makes a spectacular goal or a save, when an underdog wins. And they'll talk about the sound reverberating and the power of it. Just voices. But with the power of God, it will flatten cities. It's more than just what we can do with our voices. It is the return of the King and all that was established before the nations of men done away with, and the establishment of a new kingdom. All at once and all of a sudden, God's kingdom on this earth. That day is coming, brethren. And depending on which side of those trumpets we are standing, it will be either a day of victory and celebration, of a call to arms and to go forward to celebrate and rejoice, or a day of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a different noise that will arise. Turn with me to Isaiah in chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. We'll begin in verse 1. This is essentially the end of Isaiah's prophecy of his ministry. And he sums it all up with the day of the Lord. In verse 1, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me?" We won't build his house. We can't. His house, his new Jerusalem, will descend from heaven. "And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." Not the mighty, not the noble, not the armies and physical strength and power that will gather against him, that will rebel, that will reject him, but those who are trembling at his word. He refers to those others. "He who kills a bull as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. And he who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood." Those who have polluted his law and his word. "He who burns incense as if he has blessed an idol, just as they have chosen their own ways." Because they chose to reject him. "And their soul delights in their abominations." And he says, "So I will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, no one answered. And when I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. You brethren who hated you, your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, 'Let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy.' And they shall be ashamed." It will not just be the sound of victory on that day that will add to the teruah. There will be noise of a different kind. In verse 6, "The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies." Satan is the false god of this earth. And he has led this world astray. But there are those who choose it. And their sound will be added to this. But a new Israel will be born on that day. A new nation, a new people, a new kingdom. Verse 7. "Before she was in labor, she gave birth." This happens suddenly, immediately. "Before her pain came, she delivered a male child." Normally, women know when they're about to deliver. They have warning. But he's saying it's not going to be like that. "And she delivered a male child. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children." Christ's return will shock everyone. In verse 9, "Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, whose delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Verse 10, rejoice, Jerusalem. In the midst of the day of wrath will come a new birth, a celebration. And be glad with her, all of you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. What a beautiful image that God has created here. A newborn that is shocked, that has come into the world, that cries out for its mother. And when they're laid upon her breast, they're given comfort. That's what God's describing here. Some of you are parents and you've heard this, you've experienced it. And over the last couple of weeks in our own family, we've had this sickness that went through, and Joy and Isaac had it the worst. And I know that at one point Joy was in the other room and Isaac was just crying and he was fussing. And he was upset because he felt horrible. He was sick and congested, and I'm sure his head was hurting. But I know that Joy was also talking to him, and she brought him in to nurse him. And I could hear his voice and the kind of the wailing and the pain. And all of a sudden, it just kind of changed. And I knew the moment when she began to nurse him, because he began to coo. And it was the sound of comfort. In the midst of his misery, which was still there, he was suddenly comforted. And he made these happy baby noises, which weren't there before he was being comforted and nursed. This is another sound that God says, in the midst of my day of wrath, you will be comforted. That shout, that terura, will also have incredible relief and comfort and joy. We can't fake that, brethren. In verse 12, for thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed, on her sides you shall be carried, and be dandied on her knees, as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. All at once and at the same time, because Christ returns now. Verse 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst of eating swine's flesh and the abominations of the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. All of this is going to happen at the same time. Victory and salvation and comfort and caring and destruction and damnation and suffering. And he says, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. It will be an awesome and dreadful day. A great noise will arise. What side are we going to be on? Depending on which side we are on, will have everything to do with how we take it. Comfort and joy, or weeping and gnashing of teeth. Turn with me to Zephaniah. Again, just as God truly gave the people of Jericho a warning, we are all given warnings. Zephaniah in chapter 3. This day is coming for not just a city like Jericho, but for the whole world. Zephaniah 3 and verse 1. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone until morning. This could so easily fit in our society and our nation today. Those who are princes of the land, those who rule and govern, those who are great tradesmen and businessmen, they consume everything. They're not leaving anything for anyone else. The judges who are supposed to dispense justice and fairness and mercy, he likens to wolves. You know, in our own society, many times we call those in law, we call them scavengers who come to pick at the carcass. Because they're not living by the law. In verse 4, her prophets are insolent, treacherous people, and her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Instead of teaching the law, they've hacked at it. They've thrown it away. The Lord is righteous in her midst. In the midst of all of this, God has never changed. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. Remember, what is done in darkness will be revealed in the day. He never fails. But the unjust knows no shame. Those people who used to hide their sins now openly flaunt them. They shove it in our faces. And not only that, but they're proud of it. So much so that everyone says no one should ever be ashamed of anything. And you can't convince them otherwise. You can't make me feel bad about the way I want to live my life. I'll do what I please. But that is not God's way. He says, I have cut off nations. Their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate, with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed, and there is no one, no inhabitant. Verse 7, I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction. You will hear this. You will learn. So that her dwelling would not be cut off, despite everything for which I punished her. But they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. In verse 8, excuse me, he says, therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder, the day of the Lord. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. We have heard of this, of what is coming. Mr. Scorsese's message this morning, Christ told them what would come, what would happen. All the earth shall be devoured with it. In verse 9, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language. In the midst of his anger, of his jealousy, he's saying, I'm going to give back to you. And why? That they all may call on the name of the Lord. That we may truly know him. That we may come to know who our Father is. As children who have been orphaned, to suddenly be given a family, a nation, a father. From beyond, let's see. To serve him, we will with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offerings. And in that day you shall not be ashamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in the holy mountain. When we humble ourselves, when we have been humbled and repented, and God takes that all away, the tears that will flow will be tears of rejoicing, of relief, and of thanks. In verse 12, I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Imagine a world where no one is afraid anymore. Where no one has to worry that if they fall asleep tonight, tomorrow the neighboring kingdom will invade. That tanks will be rolling down their streets. Or that some insane man was going to launch weapons at them. But they will also not be afraid of who will be in the house with them. There will be no more fear. Be it from nations, or be it from neighbors, or family, or friends. No more harm in all the holy mountain. In verse 14, God tells them to sing. Again, to make a noise. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Teruah, make a noise. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Can you imagine shouting and singing in the same way that David danced before the Ark of the Covenant? With no fear, no trepidation, no embarrassment. With all your heart and the joy that God has given to you. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the king of Israel, and the Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. And in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Again, I have seen my wife comfort our children in that same way. From pain and fear and worry and discomfort to being held and nursed and sung to. And then they quiet and they're at peace. That is what will follow the great teruah. Great noise that this world has never heard before. Shouting and exclamation. Followed by healing and comfort and peace and a quiet that we've never heard before either. That is a feast of teruah. In verse 18, I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were once put to shame. At that time, I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. If he has said it, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who will be, it is a promise. It will be a day of awe, a day of reckoning, a day of fear, a day of victory, a day of salvation. It is promised, and it is coming, brethren. As we see it, we see the next few holy days. A week from now, 10 days, we will have a humbling, a fast, an atonement for our sins, followed by a Feast of Tabernacles, of rejoicing, of feasting, of fellowship, of sharing. And while this is a taste, while blowing on the horns and your shouts at the beginning, it's just a taste because we can't do it justice. But I hope now that if you didn't feel it at the beginning of the message, that you sense it and feel it now. That this is a feast, a great shout, a noise, and a teruah to our God.